Right, good morning everybody. Fantastic to be here and opportunity to speak to you once again. So in case you hadn't noticed, it's Mother's Day today. Hooray! Mother's Day is not kind of a biblical occasion. It's not kind of noted in the Bible as a commandment, you know, thou shalt have a Mother's Day. But it's good, isn't it? Because we get to honour people. We get to honour mothers and what they do for us. Because everyone's got one, or everyone's had one. Everyone's been born. So, you know, it is something that connects us all. But I suppose being a mother is something of a select group, isn't it? It's a bit of an exclusive club. First of all, you've got to be the female of the species. So that's half of the population-ish gone already. And then some women choose not to have children, and some women can't have children, or it never happens for them. So I suppose, say, it is, in a way, a bit of an exclusive club. But being motherly is not an exclusive club. I would just like to say, we can all be motherly, and even for us blokes, that's okay for us to be motherly on occasions, because being motherly is a good thing. It is showing very good sort of characteristics and attributes, which, you know, definitely are encouraged in the Bible in various places. So I came up with six things that I kind of associated with this idea of being a mother or being motherly. And they're on the screen here. I'm not saying that I've got everything on there. It's totally up for debate, but those are the ones that I came up with. You probably noticed that there's maybe one word in particular that's missing, which I suppose would be love. Okay, now love I thought was kind of a given. And in fact, you know, so what does love mean? Well, love often means doing these kinds of things. So say it's all kind of tied up in there. So the children, I say, are out in the pear tree room at the moment, and they've got these same words. So they're looking at these same words. So I'm going to give you my little spiel about these words and give some examples. And then I'm going to invite the children to come back in again, and they're going to sit at the front, and they're going to think about what they've got to share with us. So, you know, don't work with animals and children. Well, I'm breaking the rule this morning. I'm going to have the children back in, and we're going to see what they think about these words here. And I've got some women to illustrate these words. I'm going to start off with support and provision. So I've got a picture there of a famous mother, Victoria Beckham. Now, I don't know her personally. I'm guessing no one in this room knows her personally. So we only kind of view her through the eyes of the media, I suppose. My impression of her is that she's a very strong and determined woman, and she wants the very best for her children. She, of course, has got mega resources at her disposal. She is loaded. She's got plenty of money. She's got a nice big house, transport. So I would imagine that the Beckham household is very much a yes household. Children say, can we do this? Yep. Can I have one of those? Yep. I want to do horse riding. Okay. So, you know, say for them, you could argue that it's quite easy for them to be generous, to offer lots of support and provision for their children. And that's obviously a good thing. But for those of us with slightly less resources than the Beckhams, and I'll put myself in that category, and I'm guessing that you guys are going to be there as well. Well, you know, the Bible says to us, that's okay. For example, we have the story of the widow's offering, or the widow's mite, in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. It says, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. So support and provision is great. And if, say, if you've got some considerably less resources than the Beckham household, then you know, Jesus says, yeah, I see you. I see you giving what you've got to support your family and to support others. So we don't need to be rich in terms of material goods to offer good support and provision to others. Moving on, looking at care and time. And I have a picture here of Mother Teresa. So, say, Mother's Day, obviously, well, not this maybe, but Mother Teresa was not a biological mother. She never married, and she took a vow of kind of chastity, of being sort of sexually pure. So, say, for those kind of reasons, she was not a biological mother. She was born in what is now Macedonia and is of Albanian heritage. Her name, of course, is not Mother Teresa. Her name is something that I really would struggle to pronounce. I will have a go, if you would permit me. Anjizigonzihibojachayu. Yeah. I'm sure I'm not even close to that, to what it is, but say, her name is not Mother Teresa. When she went to become a nun in Ireland, she took the title of Sister Mary Teresa, presumably because all of her friends were like, I can't pronounce your real name, please can we call you something else? And then after taking her final vows, she then took the title of Mother Teresa. She's famous, of course, for her lifetime of work as a teacher and caring for the very poorest people in Calcutta. An amazing woman who learnt many languages, showed a real intelligence but and determination and forthrightness in her convictions. She cared by giving to helping people with their physical need, but also taking the time to really get to know them. You know, she lived with the people she was helping. She didn't kind of go home to, you know, a nice place to sleep and rest and then kind of come back the next day. She lived with these people. So we don't always need resources, answers, or solutions in order to help others. Sometimes time and care is all that we need to give. Next, looking at sacrifice. To illustrate sacrifice, I've chosen another story of a widow in the Bible, which is taken in 1 Kings chapter 17. It's where the prophet Elijah is told to go and meet a widow in Zarephath. We don't actually know her name. And that seems a bit rude to me, that she's kind of there, and I'm using her as an illustration of sacrifice, but say her name is not recorded in the Bible. So I'm going to call her Liana. And I chose this name because the internet tells me that this is a Hebrew name, meaning my Lord responded, which he did by involving her in his plans. Life was tough for Liana, who was barely surviving whilst also trying to care for her son. God sent his prophet Elijah to a place where Liana lived, called Zarephath, and told him, in verse 9 of 1 Kings chapter 17, I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you said, but first make me a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord of the God of Israel says, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain to the land. She went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. So a real sacrifice there, a real test of faith. She had very, very little. And Elijah said, okay, what you've got there, I want you to give that to me. So she chose to serve the servant of the Lord that she'd only just met. It made me smile that the passage says that the flour and the oil will not run out until the day the Lord sends rain. I thought, well, in this country, I mean, that's what, going to be half a few hours at least of unlimited oil and flour, but I'm guessing that that was more of a big statement to where this woman lived. So this is a reminder that God asks that we sacrifice ourselves and our resources for God, to our friends, our communities, even strangers, as well as sacrificing ourselves and resources to our family. Next is teaching and security. I'm kind of aware that I've had a picture of the royals on the screen a few times in my preaches. I'm not like a super fan of the royals, but you know, I do respect them, and I do respect you know, their lives, and I respect the Duchess of Cambridge, or Kate Middleton as she was, because she's got a tough job, I feel, in bringing up her children. In the place, in the environment that she finds herself. So for me, she's got a great deal to do to teach Prince George and the other children in terms of, you know, what on earth is going on here? You know, why are we so different? Why can't I just go out and play on my bike? You know, why can't I go and see my friend down the road? Why do these people have to come with me? All of that teaching is something that she's going to have to do, and it's going to be a tough job. And also security. So it's just a part of life that there's plenty of people that would want to harm George, or at least to manipulate him or take advantage of him. And say it's something that Duchess of Cambridge is going to have to kind of work through. But as a Christian, I actually believe that we have more status than Prince George. We have more power and wealth than Prince George because of our heritage to the great king, to God. George is by his birth the Prince of Wales and the Duchess. You know, he's a child of them, they say, but we are children of the Most High. And in fact, living in Britain, we have very few of the kind of inconveniences that come with this kind of status as well. Now is it encouragement? Yes. Now I'm going to go on to encouragement. And I don't actually have a picture for this lady. But this is my tribute to my auntie Sheila. I don't know whether you had an Auntie Sheila growing up, but I think everyone should have an Auntie Sheila. She wasn't actually my auntie. I don't know if you've got people like that in your lives where you call them that kind of title. But so she wasn't actually my biological auntie. And part of the reason I don't have a photograph is because I met her when I was young, when I was at a church I used to grow up, when I grew up in, back in Malvern, in Worcestershire. And when you're that age, you don't really get sentimental about these sort of things. You don't think, oh, I tell you what, it'd be nice to have a photo together so that I can remember this in the future. It's not really kind of where you're at that age. But she showed me a great deal of kindness in the church. She encouraged me. She went, she made a point of coming up to speak to me, to ask how I was and how I was doing, to talk to me about Jesus. She always had a handbag with her, a big handbag, and she would have, well, when I say she'd have sweets in there for the children, didn't really have any sweets, but he had a load of mints, it seemed. I always had mints, so she introduced me to Fisherman's Friends. So I used to have a Fisherman's Friend, and I think I liked it, but maybe I just kind of had that challenge of, you know, I've got to enjoy this because it's been given to me. I know it's something special. So my Auntie Sheila taught me that we can all encourage each other, whether we're mothers or not, whether we're kind of biologically related or not, whether we're young or old or men or women, we can all encourage one another. Okay, I'm going to nod. I'm going to go and sit, give the children a couple of minutes warning. Finally, listening to God. So my final square, I've got probably the most famous mother in history. Maybe Mother Teresa is second. Maybe she's the second most famous mother in history. I don't know. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was chosen by God for this task. And she was obedient to God to carry out a task which was so ridiculously huge that she was perfectly within her rights to kind of freak out about it and say, no, can't be me. You must have made a mistake. Got to choose somebody else. Say, this was an enormous an enormous ask for her. We find the story in a few of the Gospels. I've taken mine from Luke. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary says to the angel, "How is this to be? How will it be, since I'm a virgin?" I think that's quite an interesting comment that she makes. She doesn't argue. She just asks gently for clarification on this kind of point. He doesn't say, no, you can't do that, or no, not me, or something else. He just says, you do realize I'm a virgin, don't you? How is this going to work? The angel told her, I've skipped a bit, but yeah, the angel told her, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." So real obedience to God, listening to God. Okay, I can hear raised voices, so I'm thinking that the children are going to come. So that's kind of my summary, and those are my examples of what those words mean. So when the children come back, we will be listening to them and seeing what they make of these words. So I've asked them, yeah, what does this word mean to you? I've said, if this word was a person, who would it be? Get some interesting answers there. I've asked them, if this word was an animal, what would it be? Yep. Ready when you up? Yep. Yeah, now? Yep. I think they've learned some sign language for the words as well. They've obviously got the option of drawing a picture, doing a little dance, doing a drama. I'm guessing they won't, but it'll be very interesting to see what they've got to show. Okay, so I don't really mind who goes first, but we could do it in some kind of order that's on the screen. So we have teaching and security. So if you were involved in those words, do you want to stand up and hold up your words? And then go, if you're in that group, are you gonna come to them, Wendy?
Yeah. Okay, so we've got teaching and security, as you can see, beautifully coloured here. And what we've asked the children, really, a variety of questions around being a mum. And we've had a variety of answers, of which they've drawn or they've written words on there. Just going to turn your picture around, Megan. Words. Because Megan loves cooking with her mummy. And she also likes being creative with her mummy too, as does Abby. And Abby's also written some words and written a little poem there, haven't you? Yeah. Okay. And Levi. And Levi loves going to the park and feeding the ducks with his mum. It's one of his favourite pastimes. Yes. Okay. Did you want to add anything more, Joel, to your... No, your jumpers. You've got these... drawn a picture as well. Okay.
Thank you very much. Shall we have...
To finish it off, they've learned to sign. So they're going to sign teaching and security.
We all do that together? Teaching, like that, yeah. Security. Oh, it's like something special off the telly, isn't it? Okay, thank you. Okay, so we have, was it sacrifice and encouragement? Were they together? Yeah, sacrifice and encouragement.
It's girl power now. So they've come up with some words, the girl power team, and I'm just going to ask them to read those words. They've also done pictures related as well, some ideas on this team. I wonder, girls, are you ready to read what you told me in the pear tree room? Okay.
My mummy is the best at snuggling and cuddling.
So, this mummy lets me play on the Xbox.
Wow. I'm
very pleased with that.
Okay. My mummy is amazing. My mum always is there for me.
Okay, and now we're going to have it signed.
Sacrifice. Encouragement. Well done. Thank you very much. Can we have care and time? Care and time. Who is in that group? Nice colouring, Levi.
Okay, so these guys, care and time. And what they did do is concentrate on the sign for this. So we're just going to see the sign on this one. Look at Rachel.
Time. And then finally, it's support and provision.
Okay, lads, up you come. Excellent. And these boys had lots of sort of conversations with Chris, had conversations on this one. Not sure if you, did you put pen to paper? Did you draw any pictures or words add to that? They were concentrating on getting this wonderful poster done, but they had conversations with Chris about this. Is there anything else to add on that, or just get them to sign?
Hello from the floor. They said their mums make good cakes. They cook for them, but most importantly, Danny's mum makes him look fashionable in the morning.
Okay, so do you want to put your pictures down, you guys, and then you're going to sign those words?
Okay, provision, yeah. Support.
Excellent.
Okay, well, thank you very much, everybody. Do you guys want to come and sit on the mat or sit on here? You want to be grown up? Have a proper chair. So, if you guys can see the screen, I'm just going to try and kind of sum up what we've talked about, try and incorporate some of the ideas that the children have brought forward. And as I do that, you'll see a picture forming on the screen. So yeah, we thank you, God, for our mothers, and we thank you for these attributes that we bring together, Lord. Yeah, we just thank you for that idea of teaching us, Father. Thank you that our mothers are teaching us to cook good foods. Thank you for bringing security so that they're always there for us and they do amazing things. We thank you for sacrifice, Lord. We thank you for all the times that they've put us first, rather than what they want to do themselves. We thank you that our mothers let us play on the Xbox, Lord. And we thank you that they dress us in the morning. We thank you for the care and the time that they put in for us. We thank you that they get us dressed in the morning. We thank you that they listen to God, they listen to your voice. We thank you for their encouragement to us. And we thank you that they give great cuddles and snuggles to us, Lord. And we thank you for all of their support and their provision to us by going to the park and feeding ducks, spending that time with us, by cooking us good food and good cakes to eat. And yeah, Lord, we just thank you for all of these attributes that we can see on the screen. And we know that there's one person that does all of these things as well. And that person is Jesus. All good things come from God. Mothers are good, and being motherly is good. So it shouldn't be any surprise that Jesus does all of these things as well. So just as I said right at the start, you know, we can all be motherly. We can all be demonstrating these things because Jesus was the perfect person on the earth. Jesus showed us how to live. He showed us how to behave. And to say, so doing these kind of motherly things to say is not just for mothers. It is for all of us. Thank you very much, children, for bringing those words. I think we'd like to finish with one more song, if that's okay. So children, it'd be great if you stayed where you are at the front, and maybe parents could come and join them at the front, and we can all worship together.